Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. Every other week, I'll be joined by a guest. We'll impart our own sex wisdom, ask our own sex questions, and we'll go over all the things they don't teach you in school. But in order to do this, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
In this episode, we speak to Dr. Alice Patcher about Japan, where sex in relationships is on the decrease, but
intimate relationships with someone other than the spouse is increased.
And we talk about Japanese porn, sex toys, and relationship robots you can buy in the shop.
First, I was really thinking, like, okay, why people are so into this? But then I saw it, and I had this thought, oh my God, I want to have this too.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined as ever by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
So today, Mum, we're going to talk about sex on quite a macro level. Like, you know, usually we talk about a specific aspect, but today we're going to talk about it on quite the bigger picture, which, as you can probably tell by the title, we're clearly going to do because we're talking about sex and Japan. But we'll get onto that in a bit. Because most studies about sex on a macro level, you know, people often judge how their sex lives are going by the frequency at which they have it. And most studies that I've seen are suggesting that we're having less and less sex at the moment, which I have to say surprises me because it feels like we're getting more sexually positive as the years go on in like our TV shows and all that sort of stuff. So why do you think that is? Why do you think we're having less sex at the moment?
It's too much trouble.
It's too much trouble. What do you mean?
Well, that might be a reason. The difference now is the availability of porn as well. So, people looked for sex with other people, whereas they can get quite interesting things to look at and entertain them sexually on their phone. Now.
So that's
something to consider as well. But I think things are changing as well. I mean, I don't think that I think there used to be a sort of kudos in terms of having lots of sex with somebody, whereas that's not necessarily always the case anymore, or not as much as there used to be. I mean, it was something that was, you had to be having lots of sex, if you're a man, having lots of sex with a woman to prove you were a good enough man. Whereas there are lots of men who wouldn't want to ever have sex with a woman. There are lots of women who think, well, you know, I don't particularly want to take medication to stop myself from getting pregnant, or I'm busy with other things at the moment and I'll have lots of friends. That's another thing. There are more friends of both sexes and more people comfortable having occasional sex with somebody or with lots of somebodies. You don't have to be in a relationship. It's much easier to have casual sex than not be labelled a cad or a harlot or whatever, whatever people call people.
Wow, that is some archaic language. You know, you could just have said slut or slag, but you're not having that.
I didn't like that.
I think it's, I hate saying it. You're right. Yeah, good.
So I thought I'd use an old word.
A cad. Wow. Yes. Well, what was the other one that you said?
Harlot.
Harlot. I didn't even know that was a word. I had to work that out with context. I was like, right, what could that mean?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So if, I mean, you don't get labelled like that anymore. And in fact, you know, as we've had conversations about before, you harlot, you don't get, you people are okay having sex together without being in a relationship and often want to have lots of sex before they're in a relationship. So it's more available, which means you don't have to go out looking for it. There's not so much obligation to be doing it. People can choose more. There's more emphasis on consent, so you know, people don't feel obliged. You know, all sorts of reasons, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, and I think I can see it within my friends. I saw it in my generation as well. I mean, one of the things as well is that I'll be interested to hear what you think of this, is long distance relationships or relationships online also are a big thing. I know people who've met people online, they'll date over the internet, they'll even have cyber sex, and they might never ever meet, but they are getting their sexual urges or whatever, that's all being satisfied, but all from afar.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of people having cyber sex, and there are also a lot of people involved with groups which service their particular sexual interest, and that's more of a thing now as well. So if you've got something that you really, really like, you can join a sort of club that does that kind of thing, or make contacts with people that do that kind of thing, which would be more occasional than having a relationship and having to take care of a relationship and worry about it. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
There you go. Well, some people see Japan. I mean, to contextualize this episode, because obviously we are having less sex here, but in Japan, they are having, I think, a lot less sex than we are. And we will talk about that with Dr. Alice Patcher in a minute. But the reason that I think it's important is because some people see Japan as a good case study for looking into the future for us. Because, I mean, we won't go into the boring nature of it, but essentially in World War II, there was a deal struck with America where they wouldn't spend a lot of their money on military stuff. So they spent it all instead in technology and infrastructure, which meant that they sort of overtook a lot of other countries, particularly in the West and stuff, in terms of those things, so technology and stuff. So often the trends that would appear there, you know, in e-commerce and all that sort of stuff, would then be soon followed by the West a few years later or whatever. And that seems to be the way going with sex, because they've been having less and less sex for a while, and we've now started catching up. So we're going to talk to Dr. Alice Patch today about where they're at the moment, and are we going to follow suit? So from Meiji University, the book No Sex in Japan, where Dr. Alice Patcher investigates why people in Japan aren't having sex or getting into relationships and what that means for Japan's future. Dr. Alice Patcher, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
So Alice, for people at home that don't know, could you tell us maybe a bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, yeah. So basically, I am from Austria, but my mom is from Japan. And I born and raised in Austria. But of course, I always have this kind of interest in Japan. And 10, 11 years ago, I did my exchange year at the Meiji University. I was studying sociology. And in this time, when I was in Japan, I got to know about the sexless phenomenon. So I was talking with three women who said they are in a sexless relationship. And I was wondering, because I was, that time I was a teenager and I was living in Austria, right? So I was thinking, okay, what is this kind of relationship? Because as a teenager, I thought, okay, sex is something you have in a relationship. And then they said, no, we don't have any sexual engagement within the relationship, but I have it outside. So they said, okay, they are married, they do not have any sexual activities within the intimate relationship, but outside the relationship. And I was really wondering, and I said, yeah, why you don't get divorced? And are you unhappy? And they said, no, I'm so happy with my husband. So I was very confused that time. And then 1 week later, I was attending a sociology lecture at the university. And then the professor said about the sexless phenomenon, that more and more people are not interested in having sexual intercourse. So this was my start, because I was thinking, okay, what is this and why is it? And what, so the couple relationship, what is the difference between European couple relationships and in Japan? What happens? So this was my starting point, and now I'm doing the research about sexless couple relationships in contemporary Japan.
Wow. So interesting. Mm.
And you, am I right in thinking that not many, well, people know that you're doing this research, but you were surprised when we had found out about it because you hadn't announced the book, but we just somehow found it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I didn't announce anywhere. Yes.
Well, I'm so glad we did because I emailed you and you were like, this is amazing and I'm really into it, but how do you know?
Yeah, exactly. I was so, really shocked. Yeah.
We're in the vanguard now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So can you tell us a bit more about the upcoming book and why you decided to do it?
Yeah, it's about a couple relationship who are in a sexless intimate relationships. And I did an interview research for quite 10 years.
Wow.
And the problem is also that there's not so many academic research on this topic. So there are a lot of discourse in fashion magazines or in drama, in Syria, or in manga, in comics, in Japanese comics, but there is really lack of academic research on it. So this was a little bit difficult to write this book.
Because we noticed that when we were in Japan, didn't we, Diggs, that there was a lot of sex around. There was a lot of sort of sex on billboards and on TV and everywhere. But when we saw people out in the streets, there was no PDAs. There were, if you saw couples, which was very unusual, they weren't touching. We kept seeing big, we were there during lovely Sakura, cherry blossom time, and there were lots of big groups of girls and big groups of boys, but not many couples at all.
And also, I mean, you were talked about the research that you have seen. I mean, the research that I've seen similarly has been in like on these magazines and these websites and stuff where I'm always skeptical about how accurate the research is, but it seems to suggest, similar to you, that people aren't having sex and a lot of people aren't getting into relationships, particularly young people as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, it's such a broad question, but why do you think that is?
Yeah, this is also what I'm always thinking about. And it's so interesting because there is a study. It says that more and more younger adults, like in high school, university students, more and more people do not want to be in a relationship. And the kissing experience and sexual experience and dating experience decreased in these recent years. And more people are really not interested in being in a relationship because this is bothersome. So this is always what is called in Japan. It's tiring, it's bothersome, it's a waste of time. And holding hand, kissing or hugging is really, it's getting degrees, and especially from 2000 until now.
Gosh.
There's so much there that I want to unpick. And one of the things that I found is what you said there is that from what I've seen, both men and women say the same thing, that a relationship is bothersome. It's hassle.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's about?
The reason why they think it's bothersome or hassle is very different. So for women in age of 20s, they feel that sex is bothersome or tiring because of pain. So they feel a lot of pain, or they have negative experiences during the first or the second sexual intercourse. And on the other hand, men in their 20s, they said, oh, I got refused by my partner. So I don't know how to communicate. I don't know what she wants or what the partner wants. So there is a misunderstanding, miscommunication. And both sides in a relationship, they struggle a lot with telling what they want, how they feel. So when, for example, when a woman feel pain during the first sexual intercourse, I mean, this is nothing special, you know, it's not something, it's only in Japan. Of course, a lot of people experience negative things during the first or second sexual intercourse. But I don't know, you can read something or you will think about, okay, what is my sexual pleasure? How can it be much better next time? How can I communicate with my partner? But this kind of things is a little bit lacking in Japan. So when everything hurts, it hurts. I don't like sex, so I don't want to do it anymore. So this is like the stance. And there is a miscommunication. This is, I think, the biggest thing in Japan.
I think it translates when Japanese people move here as well, because I've seen several young Japanese couples who have similar problems with communication and don't know how to get started. And I wondered with some of them whether they were expecting to ever have sex at all. And then they want children, or they're living in here where people do, and they think, well, we could do that, but they have no idea how to get started.
Yes, this is the problem. And this is getting more and more stronger, I guess, because of internet. A lot of people do not talk about sexual things with friends. Because you can find everything in internet, so you feel a lot of you feel shy to talk about, to discuss about things. They wonder if it's okay to ask another person about sexual things, sexual issues or question. So this is why they use more the internet and they check everything in the internet when they want to get some information.
Interesting.
A couple of other things I wanted to touch on, because in my own research of this, I wanted to get your opinion on it, was a few people that I saw when they discussed this, another issue was they didn't want a partner because of money. They said partners are very expensive.
Yeah.
Is there a big spending culture in Japan, or do Japanese people feel that if they're going out with someone, if they're in a relationship with someone, they have to spend money on them?
Yeah, exactly. Especially men, they feel that they must have a lot of money. So yeah, this is also something which is so interesting. Like in Austria, when we had this pandemic, a lot of couples walked in a park. So they went out and they when they meet someone from Tinder, they go for a walk. But when I tell this story to my students in Japan, they say, what? The first date? Walking? Going to a park? No way. So yeah, you spend a lot of money to go somewhere when you have a date, like to an aquarium or a restaurant and to this kind of Disneyland and entertainment places. Yeah, everything costs money. And there's still not a very, how to say, like equality. So there is always the issue. Yeah, this is why a lot of people cannot, or they don't want to be in a relationship, because they start to think, oh, should I pay? Or should we separate the bill? What should I do? Because this is a discussion point which we always talk with my students, because they don't know, can a woman pay? Should the man pay? Can we separate the bill? Oh my God, what should I do? And I always say, ask the person. Do what you want. But, you know, this is a stressful question, especially to the students. Maybe this changed when they work and when they're in a company, when they get older, maybe it will be different. But yeah, but also men really has this kind of pressure.
There's two, work plays a part in it as well. Am I right in thinking that particularly women have a growing sense of independence, and now they are going into the workforce more, and now they want to prioritize work over potentially relationships or anything like that? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, more and more women wants to be at work. They want to do career, and to balance partnership and work is so difficult. Or they think,
And similarly, there was an interview with someone that they said, you know, I like my work and I like my hobbies. If I was to get married, one of those two would have to go. And obviously it would have to be the hobbies. So I'm never going to do that. I'm just going to keep working and have my hobbies. Is that, again, is that a similar thing that you hear a lot?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, they have this kind of fear that they have to give up their own hobbies or what they want, and they don't have any free times anymore. Yeah, this is what they always say. Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So it comes back to something that we said at the top of the program, but I guess this is the impression I'm getting is that potentially Japanese culture and Japanese people are very individualistic. Mm-hmm. They like their own personal freedom. And the problem with the relationship is it feels like they're giving that up. And that potentially now, with more and more choice and consumerism as it is, that you can, and convenience, like if you want, you know, a burger, you can buy it like that. If you want to get a car, you can go on Uber and get one like that. Is that why you sort of think people then don't go for relationships? Because you can't just say, now, I want it now, and I want it how I want it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, yeah. And also now, during this corona pandemic in Japan, you can see a lot of discourse about having fun or doing activities alone. It's called sorokatsu. And this is interesting because for example, in Austria or in German-speaking countries, more people talk about, okay, what is a relationship during the COVID pandemic? How can you build a very nice foundation of a relationship? So there's more about relationships going on. But in Japan, it's more about, okay, have fun being alone. So this solo activity is like really now in a main discourse, even in magazines and in TV shows. It says, okay, it's nice, it's cool, it's great to do something alone, like solo camping alone. It's great, such these things.
So what's sex education like in schools in Japan?
Yeah, so sexual education is really lacking, or it's only one-sided. So it depends on the school. But I asked my students at my lecture how they felt about the sexual education. So I have 200 students in sociology. So the most of them said, I don't know what is sexual education, so I don't know if I can say this is sexual education, what I experienced. But most of the time they learn about disease, to avoid sexual violence or pregnancy, which they do not desire. But they don't learn about sexual pleasure or that they have a sexual identity. But I have to say that during the COVID pandemic, a lot of things change. So now more and more sexual educators say, okay, this is important to have sexual education. So more younger generation now starts to raise their voice. And I think it will change, but it takes time.
That's really interesting because so there's not much sexual education at schools, but then something we talked about before when we were off air, which I think is good to bring up now, is the culture around sex.
Mm.
Am I right in understanding sex is a big thing in Japanese culture?
Yes, sex is a big thing in Japanese culture, but it has not so high value within a couple relationship.
Right.
So sex itself, yeah, there are so many events about sexuality. If you go on the street, you find the sexual services. There's so many sexual services, right? And you can find comics about sexuality. And nowadays it's so interesting because if you go to a shop, you can find this Tenga. Do you know the Tenga? Mm. This is a company where they make masturbation aid for adults. And you can find masturbation tools easily in a shop or in this kind of convenience store.
That's
unbelievable.
Yeah, so sexuality is more for men, you know, because the masturbation, I don't know if I can say toy, because this masturbation, how to say, it looks so.
Like a tube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. like a tube, and I think it's very soft inside, and you can put your penis inside. Wow. So this is everything for men. So sex is more, yeah, there are so many products, and everything is like from the men's side. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so interesting because actually you might say over here it's actually more geared towards women. Mm-hmm. You know, sex magazines and things, a lot of sex toys, they're more for women. So it's actually quite interesting that there's that difference there.
Yeah,
that's really interesting.
Yeah, true. You can find so many varieties of toys and even games related to sex. Mm. But when it comes to the relationship, then sexuality is not so strong.
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting because I suppose when I was looking at Japan and some of the sexual services, you have things like cuddle cafes.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Where you can go in and you pay someone to essentially cuddle with you for however long, but also they can do things like just you pay them to stare into your eyes, or you can pay them to clean your ears, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah.
Which is very interesting. And then you also have host clubs where people where you can go and sometimes there's host clubs and hostess clubs. So if I guess the normal host club, if you're a woman, you'll go in and it will just be, you know, attractive men who, you know, have a drink with you and have a chat. And there's no real sex involved, but that's the sort of thing that you do.
Yeah.
One thing that is that we think of Japan over here is having a lot of sexualized TV game shows. Is that true?
Yeah, it's common to say that there are so many sexualized games. And even now there are new games. I should send you the link because you can now you can buy this kind of it's like a coffee machine, but there is an anime character in it. I don't know.
Yes, the virtual home robot.
Yes. And she's so cute and you can do the setting, what she should say and everything. Mm. And this is really cute. And first I was really thinking like, okay, why people are so into this kind of robot? But then I saw it last time in a shop. And I was really fascinated. And then I had this kind of thought, oh my God, I want to have this too. So this was a very interesting and experience for me. But yeah, a lot of things are now not in a relationship. It's sexuality and intimacy. It's more about outside the relationship or something is your own. Sex is something you don't share it with one person and one person. If I say it as a heterosexual monogamous relationship, then you have one person, and then you share or you have sex together. But I noticed that in my interview, even when people are in a sexless relationship, they have their own sexual desire and they don't have sex together, but they live their sexual desire something else, like reading erotic novels, masturbation, or they paint their own anime character, for example, or watching porn.
Wow. Yeah. So what's all the lack of sex doing to the birth rate? I mean, are people still, I mean, when couples get together, do they negotiate a sexless relationship or does it just happen? I mean, and how do people have babies?
Yeah. This is also one thing what I wrote in the book because my interviewees struggled a lot. So a woman in 30s, late 30s, so she was in a sexless relationship. So no engagement, no sexual activity with the partner, nothing for 8 years. But then she wanted to have a child. And this was the problem because there's no sex and she doesn't want to touch him. She doesn't want to be with him in the same room. So she told me that they don't eat together. So she doesn't want to eat and be with him together in the same room. And once in a year, they eat together when she has birthday. So they order pizza and that's it.
Wow.
And then she said, okay, she wants to be pregnant. And I was confused, of course, but okay, I didn't show my confusedness. And I said, but do you love your husband? I mean, do you want to have another person? And she said, no, she is so in love with him. And it's not only this person. This is, it's not strange or something, because this is a very normal situation. And then they talked about that they want to have a child. So then they start to have sex during this period until she got pregnant. So only on the kind of specific day they have sexual intercourse. When she got pregnant, there's no sex anymore. And then she wants to have the separate life again. So, of course, this is only one example, but this is not a rare case. And I asked her, of course, like, if she wants to divorce and if she has desire, like if she has a wish to change this relationship, if there's something she wants to change. And she said no, because she sees him as a roommate, and this is the way she wants to have a relationship, of course. And she has sexual affairs outside the relationship, but she said when there is something broken at home, she can call him, she will repair everything, so she can lean on him. And this is something she needs. But most of the interviews say that this, so they have a kind different kind of relationship. It's maybe a bit difficult to understand in the Western perspective. Yeah.
When you say that some people, and in the case that you mentioned, like, they are together, they are married, but she has other sexual partners, and would that be the same for him? And is that something that they agree on, or is that something that they just, they do and the other person doesn't know about it?
Yeah. So intimate relationships with someone other than the spouse is increased, especially from 2000 to 2012. And nowadays, more women has extramarital affairs. Of course, not everyone has extramarital affairs, but it's getting increased and increased. And this is very interesting. They don't agree on that. So it's not about that they talk about it. But there is a study, it says, if the person do not destroy the family, and if they don't bring any disease to home, then they will accept.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Well, what about gay couples? Is there any difference?
Okay, this is a very good question. Yeah, sadly, in my dissertation and in my book, I could not write a lot about gay couples, for example. I was more focusing on heterosexual couples, because there is a lot of study on LGBTQ+I, and queer studies is now very popular in Japan, but nobody focus on the heterosexual part. So this is why I said, okay, first I want to emphasize, or I want to analyze this one first. And because I also believe that gay couples have, again, different kind of couple construct, because heterosexual couple relationship, they still have this kind of, okay, a woman has to do this, the man has to do this. So this kind of gender beliefs and rules and norms. Yeah. So this is why I was more focusing on this kind of dynamic. But in my next research, I would like to focus more on couples who are not in a heterosexual relationship. Because, yeah, I know one couple who is also sexless and they are gay. But, yeah, I think this is, again, a different kind of dynamic, different kind of factors. So, yeah.
That's so interesting. Because what you were saying about people being individual and pleasing themselves and meeting their own needs is one thing. But there's also this sort of cultural expectation that people will pair up, isn't there? And maybe have a baby. And
yeah.
And so I'm just trying to imagine what that must be like. It's so pulling in two directions. Yes, and it must be terribly hard to have a family. You know, you wouldn't be a family if you were living your own lives.
Yes. And it's so, and what I'm also interested in is that when I did the interview, there was one woman, she was in a sexless relationship, but she wanted to have a child and she couldn't because the man avoided having sex with her. But her desire is to have a baby. And I think this is also a very, very big issue now in Japan. It's not very discussed now, but I think slowly it will get more in discourse because so many women wants to have a child but cannot because the sex is lacking in the relationship. And when the men avoid having sex, then of course they go to the infertility treatment. So they do the infertility treatment. And a lot of pressure is going on because when a woman works hard, long hours, overworking, and then having the pressure from her family, or this is her wish to have a child, then there are sexless, then they have to pay a lot for the infertility treatment. So this is something which makes me really sad when I talk with interviewees, but this is what's going on now in Japan.
And it's a problem for the country, if I'm not mistaken, because the birth rate is
very
dropping.
Low. Yes, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
And so some estimations saying that by the end of the century, the population will have effectively halved. I mean, that might be sensationalist and untrue, but is the government doing anything to step in and try and get people together and having babies?
I can say yes and no. So nowadays, infertility treatment is getting paid by the insurance, not everything, but a part of. This is something, it's new. But yeah, it's getting slowly. I wish they do more and faster, but it's like baby steps.
Yeah, literally.
I'm conscious of time, Alice, and we will let you go because obviously it's your evening. But is there anything that we haven't touched on today that you think we should know about sexless Japan?
So my topic is about sexless couple relationships. So today I talked more about why they do not have any sexual relationship. But of course there are a lot of people as well, they have sex. So not everyone is like this. And the interesting part is that now we did a research on COVID-19 pandemic and intimate relationship. And then it comes out that during the first lockdown and second lockdown, more and more people start to engage in sexual intercourse. So, and the reason why is because they have more time together. They talked more. So when they're not busy with other things, like going out and doing this and that, and when they have the time to focus on the partner, then it works.
Yeah.
How interesting.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to see how it goes. And I hope that in Japan, more and more sexual education must be done. And also more sexual educator is needed. Not only sexual education, but people who can teach sexual education. Yeah, is needed.
Well, honestly, this has been brilliant, Alice. Thank you so much.
Really interesting. Yeah. Yes, it's absolutely great. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you.
Thank you so much, Alice. It's been an absolute pleasure. Everyone listening, make sure you go and check out No Sex in Japan, because by the time we've released this episode, it should be out and available for you in English, Japanese, or whatever language you prefer. Bye. You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hat Trick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.